She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. We are going to give you a lot to think about today. It's going to be a great action-packed show. It's sponsored today by Chapman Tucson. I don't want the show to go by without wishing all of you a very happy Thanksgiving coming up really soon. I have so much to be thankful for in so many levels, and we are very thankful for all of you here at Mrs. Green's World. So have a happy Turkey Day. First up in the show, busy action-packed show, one of our very best favorite stores on the planet, Benjamin Kaiser from Sea of Green. He's going to talk to us a little bit about hydroponics and organic gardening, or whatever he wants to, actually. And I saw his counterpart when I was up in Phoenix this week, and they are just really and truly committed to making a difference. It's a great place to visit. So, Benjamin, you're on Mrs. Green's World. How are you this Saturday?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on the show. Yep. What big shout out do you want to do?
We're just going to mention the day after Thanksgiving, we have 20% off.
Okay, that's good.
So come on in. We're also mentioning our classes starting January 7th. We'll have one on the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st, starting at 11 a.m.
Is that at your store on 4th Avenue and east side?
No, it's just going to be on the east side location, which is 7955 East Broadway.
Okay.
On Boulevard.
So tell the dates again. I'm sorry I interrupted the dates.
Oh, that's okay. Upcoming classes are going to be January 7th, 14th, and the 21st. You can sign up online. There's 15 available seats each class.
And what are the classes going to be about? Because I think people are interested. I got some emails when I put that up on Facebook. So
yeah.
what are the contents for the classes?
So the first content is going to be like an introduction to hydroponics, just the basic knowledge of it. Second class is going to be how to set up a grow room or grow inside, basically ventilation, air, light, all that kind of stuff. And then third class is going to be propagation, knowing how to clone, start seeds, that kind of stuff.
Okay, and they're kind of connected, so you want to take 1, 2, and
yes.
3, right? They build
yes,
on
you,
each other.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
And 20% off, is that on all the stores? Because we have listeners all over
yes.
the state, so that means the
yes.
Tucson stores, the Phoenix stores, and the Flagstaff store.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's really good.
Take advantage of that sale.
And if people don't know, just give the Reader's Digest version of what hydroponic growing is. I'm Mrs. Green, and when I wandered into your store oh so long ago, I'm like, what is this? You're growing things with water?
It is. You grow water with water without soil. Yeah, you do substitute, in some cases, a certain type of substrate instead of soil, but you add all the nutrients to the water and deliver the water in certain methods. You have drip systems, ebb and flow, meaning flood and drain, DWC, deep water culture. So basically, you're just force feeding the plant nutrients instead of it uptaking it through the soil.
And using far, far, far less water. Even though it's using water, that's the funny thing to me. It's like using water, but using far less. Yeah.
Yeah, for about 40% less water in hydro than in soil.
Okay, and do you see, I read so much about what's happening in the world of sustainability, and I see such an increase of people being interested in organic gardening. If they don't want to grow hydroponic things, aren't there things in your store that they can come in and buy that just help with their gardens?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have organic soil. We have compost. We get compost from Tico Verde Farms, which is a local farm here in Tucson. They make compost out of horse manure.
Awesome, awesome. So there's lots more than that at your stores. And it's everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everybody knows what they're doing. I like that part, too. There's no such thing as a dumb question.
There is not.
Okay, so if people want to find out more, Benjamin, what's the best way to get in touch with you on the website. It's seaofgreen.com?
www.c-of-green.com. And okay. I'll have all the information. Yeah.
And I always tell everybody, if they are listening and they're driving, or they're listening on their Droid or their iPhone, you can always ask info at Mrs. Green's World, because we love to connect the big green dots. So anything else do you want to shout out? I really appreciate your calling in, and I love sharing about Sea of Green.
No, just one more thing. On Facebook, if you sign up on Facebook, we're giving a free hydroponic system away in December.
That is something that we do want you to share, because that's really good news. Okay.
Yeah. Just like us on Facebook, or there's a, on the website, there's a link to win a microgarden for December. So
that would be good. And Mrs. Green is eligible to win. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to do it. But I already
like
you, so I'll have to get people to share. Okay, Ben, thanks so much, and I'll be seeing you very soon.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling
in. All right, have a good day.
Okay, this is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Up next, I didn't say in the beginning also that the show is sponsored by Chapman Tucson. Just a little bit about that, because we're going to be calling to Hall of Famer Colleen Crowninshield from Clean Cities Coalition, who's going to talk about recycling your grease the day after Thanksgiving. No matter where you are listening to me around the country or around the world, don't throw your grease down the drain. And Colleen's going to tell us one of the reasons why. But I did spend some time yesterday with the Chapman Tucson Going Green team, and it's pretty exciting to be a part of that partnership and to see the different things that they are doing to make our world a greener place. And I'm having a lot of fun with that. And our guest today, the featured guest, is Peter Arpin, president of the Arpin International Group and show host of Renewable Now. And I can't wait to interview him. He's got a different business paradigm, and he's got a lot of really great stuff going on. And while I'm getting Colleen on, don't forget www.mrsgreensworld.com to listen, to connect with me on Facebook and Twitter, because that makes you connect with everything that's going on in Mrs. Green's world. So do we have the Hall of Famer on the line?
You do. I'm here. How are you?
Yeah, you traveling fool. I'm great. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Just reeling from my wonderful experience of being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I know, and it's something that we should all be very proud of. So tell me how many people were inducted with you. And I said inducted, not indicted. Okay.
I'm glad that's what you said.
Okay.
Now, there were 7 of us in the United States that were inducted. Out of 90 coalitions and more than 200 coalition coordinators and co-coordinators. So it was a pretty prestigious honor.
And for my regular listeners, I know they know what Clean Cities Coalition is, but I think you should say like a sentence about what it is for the first-time listeners, because we could get caught in the jargon of being really, you know, on the radio a lot. So tell us what Clean Cities Coalition is.
Absolutely. Clean Cities is a program that's run through the U.S. Department of Energy with the purpose of reducing dependence on petroleum through alternative fuels and alternative fuel vehicles.
Okay.
So it's a very clear focus.
Very, very clear focus. I went to the Clean Cities meeting and heard about some interesting fleet vehicles for the compressed natural gas. Actually, the conversion. What was it called? BAP?
Actually, it's BAF technology.
BAF,
they
you know
are
me.
Doing...
BAF,
yep, they
BAP.
Are doing what's called upfit, and what's better than, it's better than a conversion. A conversion, they take the vehicle, they sell the vehicle, and then that, the buyer goes and converts that vehicle over, and it no longer has a warranty. So if you've got an upfit, then it's converted by a manufacturer that the car dealership or the car manufacturer agrees upon.
Right, that's certified
so
and approved by them.
That's certified.
Okay.
And that way it makes it an approved upfit. So it's all warrantied still. So that it's very important. That's a very important distinction.
Huge step forward. Huge step forward, because nobody wants to lose their warranty on their vehicles, especially if it's fleets and they have many of them. So
exactly.
It's just another exciting step forward that I love hearing about and watching over the past, you know, 2 to 3 years, what's going on.
We just have great things going on here in Tucson. And I got to put one more little brag out there that the Department of Energy every year ranks coalitions in their alternative fuel use, their increase in alternative fuel vehicles, their increase in coalition members. There's a bunch of different rankings that we get. We are the only coalition that ranked in the top 10 of every ranking.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's got to have some bell in the background here. I love that. And Colleen, what I know from going to the coalition meetings for so long now, it's all based on everything is measured. You count the number of gallons you saved. You count the number of fleets that were added. It's all based on facts and figures. It's not a popularity contest.
Exactly.
And that makes it so unbelievably something to be really proud of.
And not only that, Gina, but we really have to throw the kudos out there to the members of the coalition. Because all I am is the face.
Right.
The members are the ones doing the hard work out there. So the Golden Eagle distributors of the world and the all of those people, the city of Tucson, Pima County, the school districts, all of those. And I'm really proud to say also that a lot of those members are supporters of Mrs. Green.
They are. I love that too. I know.
Absolutely. And so it's a great circle of wonderful, warm fuzzy, and it's great.
It's a sustainable community, and that's part of what I love in terms of Mrs. Green's, because I get to Mrs. Green's world, I get to intersect with them. Now talk about, it's a huge event here in Tucson. It's a fun event. I, unfortunately, am usually out of town, which I'm going to be again. but recycling your grease, it's such a devastating thing to the environment, to our pipes and our sewage system, so our drainage system, more correctly. So tell us what the event is and why people should recycle their grease and not throw it down the drain using hot water.
Well, we worked with Pima County Wastewater and Grease-Cycle and a few other entities in our surrounding communities.
I think EDG is going to be a part of it this year, too.
EDG is a part of it. And what we did was we started what we call the Day of Thanksgiving Grease Recycling Event. There's a huge population of people who fry their turkeys in peanut oil for Thanksgiving. So what we were hoping to do is capture that grease, but also put an event together that would be fun and that would get people to understand that putting it down your drain isn't the answer. You know, when people put their grease down their drain, it the cycle that it causes is unbelievable. You've got overtime for the wastewater workers because they have to go out and clean that grease out of that sewer system. They're there on a holiday trying to do that. It's smelly. It causes a huge mess. It can cause backups in your own sewer systems. It's just awful.
And it's really disgusting because I didn't know. I had, Laura from Wastewater Management on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she was like, it was so gross because she said, it coagulates, it congeals once it gets back out into the drains, and that they have cameras in there that prove that that's where the cockroaches are drawn to. And I was
like,
this is a whole visual I don't even want to know. So don't even bring that up again. But we want people to be aware of it. And it's not just peanut grease. It's your bacon
it's
grease.
Any type of grease. Any type of grease we can take. We have one lady who's been since the very beginning doing this. She brings a little Folgers coffee can full of her bacon grease that she's kept all year long.
Oh,
and that is her favorite thing to do. And she does it every year. She brings it to us every year. We have to give her Folgers can back, but she does it every year. So
there's great stories there. And I wish I could say that I only fill one can of bacon grease a year. I'm cutting down on eating meat, but bacon is a tough one for Mrs. Green to give up. I just have to move that. So thank you. It's going to be easy to find this if you go on Mrs. Green website. It's one of the featured events. It's already probably up there as a featured event. I know it is on my homepage, MrsGreensWorld.com. We're spreading the word throughout Tucson. And what I say to people not listening in Tucson, but from other places, that there are other programs like this. Just don't throw it down your drain. That's the most important message. Okay. So, and tell them about your website if they want to get in touch with you.
They can get in touch with me through www.pagnet.org.
Okay.
Or they can call me at 792-1093.
And that's the area code 520, because you might be getting a call from someone in Chicago.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Happy Thanksgiving, kiddo, and congratulations on the Hall of Famer Award. We're really proud of you.
Thank you.
Make
you
it
guys
a great
have a
Green
great
Day, and we'll see you when I get back.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. That was Colleen Crowninshield. We heard from Benjamin from Sea of Green. A little bit later in the show, we're also going to be hearing from our friend Scott Caddo about Southwest Airlines' unbelievable sustainability program. And our guest today that I can't wait to get to, even though I loved hearing from Benjamin and Colleen, is Peter Arpin. And he's the president of the Arpin International Group. And he's the show host of Renewable Now. It's the first web-based television network dedicated to the moving and storage industry. His story is unbelievable. I mean, I Googled him to a fare thee well, and what he decided to do, and he's going to tell you about, is at some point, it's first of all, it's a fourth generation company. So Arpin International is fourth generation, and to watch what it probably was like, even though I'm sure he wasn't there in the beginning since it's fourth generation, maybe he was, but to watch what they've done in terms of really being a leader of sustainability in the moving and storage industry. He's an entrepreneur, and he's a person dedicated to reducing the entire Arpin Group's entourage of carbon emissions, among their many other accomplishments. So we're excited about having him on the show today, and we're trying to connect with him. He has an incredible journey to green. And while we're trying to connect with Peter, I just want to tell you a little bit more about the Chapman Green team, because I think it's really important. It's not just filler. It's exciting for me to be a part of something to watch sustainable, progressive change. And we have an exciting green team there. We have an exciting team at Vervey that's growing, which is another, it's an Aveda hair salon. So there's really good things happening in Tucson, and looking for the expansion to Phoenix and LA. But the team at Chapman is really growing green from the inside out. And that makes me very, very, very proud to be a part of that. And I just hear, Mr. Green, here we go. Here's a cell phone number for you also. Okay, so we're trying, you know, it's like, here you go. It's Mrs. Green's world, and we are our own world radio network. So there's always a little bit of technical challenges, but I can talk about Peter more. So there you go about Chapman Green Team. And just to give you one example, in their Porsche Audi dealership, they are no longer supplying people with plastic bottles, which, think about it, for a car dealership, that's really exciting to me. So they give out little stainless steel bottles that say, doing our share, showing we care, Chapman team. So they've eliminated the use of plastic bottles. They have little recycle bins under their desk, and they're very classy. So they're getting people to recycle lots more paper. They are going to measure that more. They've redone some paper, some processes to actually cut down on the use of paper, because I tell everybody the first R is reduce, and we're very excited about that. So it's a work in progress, and I encourage you, if you're listening, you get excited about changing the world one person at a time and changing it from the inside out. So we love that. And I'm proud of Chapman. I'm proud of the sponsorship at their Mercedes dealership, which is a new, absolutely gorgeous showcase. They have every single person has perfect bottles. They have, reusable water bottles. And it's, okay, I'm sorry, people. There's a little bit of technical difficulty here. It's, yeah, I have to apologize for this distraction, but it's hard to keep focus when you got papers waving at you. So the Chapman Green Team is leaders in sustainability, leaders in making a difference, and I'm proud to be a part of that Chapman Going Green Team. So let's just see what we can do. We're connecting with Peter Arpin on the air, and we're going to talk. Scott Caddo from Legendary World is a regular part of the show, and he's going to be talking to us about the incredible things that Southwest Airline is doing. So I love to see the progress with Colleen, and she talks about the major conversions to fleet in partnership here, Golden Eagle partnership with Ryder. I'm excited to tie that into what Peter Arpin is doing with, he's one of the largest international movers in the world, I do believe. And then we have Scott from Legendary World, who's made lots of changes in his life. We have the Chapman Green team. So one of my biggest mantras on Facebook is small steps, big impact. And each of you that are involved in my world, I know you're taking small steps. I know it's making a bigger impact, and that makes me excited. One of the most intriguing things that I want to talk to Peter about is he actually does what I think is a radio broadcast and a it's televised. So part of what I think would be really fun when you see like Mike and Mike in the morning is they're on the radio and they're also on TV, and he's a leader in that. So we're going to go to a short break. Hopefully we'll get all of these technical difficulties straightened out. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for staying here with us. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We will be right back, and we will have Peter Arpin on the line. Please stay here with me.
Think all this going green is new? The U of A School of Architecture has been offering energy audits to Arizona homes and businesses for more than 20 years. Now we're expanding that program to energize the economy, creating jobs that turn audits into applied solutions, real-world education, sustainable living, and economic development in one. Does it get any better than that? The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best, an Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook, and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway in Prudence, Northwest I-9-I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313, 290-9313, or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green. Do you know that you can save up to $258 a year on fuel costs when you drive a VW 2011 Jetta TDI clean diesel from Chapman? And you can travel up to 609 miles per tank and reduce those ugly, sooty emissions by 90%. And remember, Chapman doesn't just sell cars. They provide you with the best ownership experience possible. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan, and tell them Mrs. Green sent you. What to think? We just want you to. This show sponsored by Chapman Tucson. We wish you all a very happy Turkey Day coming up. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World, and I'm going to get right to the star of our show today. Peter, I'm so sorry for the technical difficulties. We are a work in progress, and I really don't know what happened, and neither does Mr. Green. So, but we're.
I know, it's too funny.
I know. He said he kept just so that our audience knows, because we share everything. He kept dialing a number, and after three numbers, he got a busy signal just after the area code. So, you know,
and it was funny because you and I connected earlier to chat, right? That was. So, Al, you know, it's they want to challenge you.
I know, they do. And then
there.
It's like,
can't make it too easy.
and it's like, you got to go with the flow. I said a lot of nice things about you before you came on air, that you are fourth generation. Your company has experienced incredible growth, Arpin International. And I want you to tell the story. It's like enough of Mrs. Green talking. Start about, give us an overview of what the Arpin International Group is as a business.
I will. And thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for everybody out there, including Kelly, who was so helpful in getting this set up. I appreciate it. So ARPAN Group and ARPAN International is part of that. We are a worldwide moving company in the relocation business. We do a lot of big national accounts, BP as an example, or GE, you had actually mentioned earlier, is a client. So relocating their families around the world. We're probably about the sixth largest in the U.S. I'm not exactly sure where we rank internationally. It kind of depends on who's doing the ranking, but we do a lot of work for State Department as an example, moving their embassy members around the world. So we've been pretty lucky. It's 111 years old, started up in Canada, migrated down to the U.S., so we know a little bit something about moving. We have offices throughout the world, and really what we think is probably the best global sales team in the world. And really our focus has always been that we are one of the true kind of leftover family businesses in relocation. As you said, certainly one of the oldest, being fourth generation. And we really focus very much on delivering value to our customers, what we call the best combination of service and price. So at the end of the day, they're pretty comfortable. They're pretty happy with the money they spent with us and the service they received.
And what a great thing to say. And I think when I'm sitting here talking to you, it's like it's what every customer wants. And I want to add that just getting to know you over these past months and the number of times that we've gotten to speak about your vision and my vision about sustainability and about leaving the world much better shape than it is now and then the way we left it. And your company, you started out, from what I understand, by taking a look at what you're doing. You hired an environmental consultant to help create a more sustainable company. Why did you do that? Like, whose idea was it? I always want to know what planted that seed.
Well, it was me, because it's always been my passion to balance economic and financial growth with environmental stewardship and preservation. And so we had done a lot of things on our own, but clearly we didn't have the expertise or an outside pair of eyes to kind of
look at what you're doing. Right.
Exactly. Look at the industry. Look at what we're doing. The consultant we brought on was great because he had worked in a lot of different industries. One, as an example, being construction. And there's been really quite a transformation in a lot of materials and techniques on the construction side. But he had looked at a lot of other things. And so he came in and he just was able to say, well, why do you do this? And what about this material? How do you dispose of that? You know, how do you use those trucks? How do you dispatch? And we just started to make simple improvements. One of our goals, as an example, starting out, was not to throw anything out from a move, not
right.
to send anything
Which
to the
huge.
Landfill.
I mean, especially as big as you are, that may seem like a small step, but it's a big step collectively. So that's a major kudo.
And then we got into starting to look at certainly retrofitting all of our buildings. In fact, as you and I talked, we're almost done with our headquarters back in Rhode Island. And we did two things. One was to drive down the use of energy, right? That's the first thing you do, right? You work on the envelope and you work on the infrastructure, right? So we did that. And then we're just about ready to activate 175,000 kilowatt solar array that we put up on our warehouse, which will pretty much take care of about 40% of our remaining energy needs. I mean, our goal is ultimately to get off the
grid at net zero. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's great. That's really great, Peter. Oh my gosh. And the other thing that I always think of moving, but you don't think of storage, because storage is a huge piece of what you do, and storing people's things so that they're not affected by extreme cold, extreme heat, which requires a lot of energy, keeping it at just the right temperature. So solar array is an unbelievable option that I'm so proud of you. It's so exciting for Mrs. Green to hear this. Okay, so no waste, solar. What other kinds of things did he advise you to do?
a lot of things, actually. And again, a lot of stuff starts with very simple steps, you know,
right.
Sensors in buildings, right? Trying to be totally electronic, trying to be totally paperless. And it's funny because one of the things that stands in the way of that are the federal requirements for paperwork. you kind of want to kick Obama and his team once in a while.
There's some kind of irony there. Like, dude, are you kidding me?
We could
scratch that one.
I mean, how many years of paper do we need for these guys? And on the other hand, they want us to go paperless, right? It's kind of a paradox.
There's the green conundrum.
Yeah.
Okay.
We started to look at the trucks, and as you said, not only natural climate control, but also one of the big things is to not idle. When you talk to EPA and you talk to their SmartWay guys, which are really the guys that are working with commercial fleets to drive down emissions, what they tell you is if you do three things well, if you have newer equipment, if you don't idle and you obey the speed limits, you will help us meet and exceed all of the goals that we have set for commercial fleets. And so in using the battery systems and in using the solar, we want our guys to be able to run laptops and to stay warm and to stay cool without discharging emissions. And that's really one of our focuses now. And the other is a natural de-icing system to get the ice and snow off of trucks.
Which we don't know a lot about. That's a rarity. But I'm a Jersey girl, so I do remember. My dad used to call me early in the morning because we commuted to New York by train. And he would call me at my house, and he'd say, honey, get up a little early. The ice is thick out there. They had a garage, but he knew I didn't. And I mean, sometimes it took an extra couple of minutes. And, you know, I was young. I might miss the train if my dad didn't call and tell me. So I know about
scraping ice. Now, were you on
the
Metro North?
No,
were you riding?
I was riding the Jersey Central.
from where? Where were you?
From Middletown to Newark. And then I took
the path.
And I took the PATH train under, you know, unfortunately, sadly, to the World Trade Center for 5 years. So, yeah.
So you were an early user of mass transportation. How cool was that?
And it was great to be able to party till the wee hours of the morning and then sleep on the train going into work. That was the young commuter girl, you know, perspective.
All sorts of secrets coming out about you today.
I know, something on the airwaves.
Did you start off today's show about talking about partying with somebody? Or?
I did.
You did, right?
That's right. I know.
And come now, full circle here.
60 is the new 40, so I still have a lot of party left in me.
Glad to hear that.
Okay, so back to the greens. Well, I want to talk about the vehicles, though, your vehicles. Is there a conversion piece in the vehicles that you have undertaken? Do you have how are they powered?
So what we do is we retrofit them with solar panels up on the top of the trailers. Now,
keep in mind,
those are big trailers. Yeah, that's 53 feet up there.
Yes.
So we're capable of, I think it's 4,000 kilowatts at any one time. And so what we did was we were able to then capture that. See, the big issue with renewable energy in any format, as you well know, is that it's not only the efficiencies of the solar panels, but it's the storage capacity of the battery systems, right?
Exactly.
And the only way renewable energy is really going to become efficient and affordable going forward is those two things have to improve. And so everything we work with, in fact, there's a thin film solar company right down there. They may be in Tucson. Do you know Global Solar?
Absolutely no.
Yeah.
Global Solar. They're really big here. I mean, like, really huge. First Solar is here, and Global Solar is here, and Solon is here. It should be, because look at how much sunshine we have. So yeah, I'm familiar with Global Solar.
And First Solar, by the way, announced record earnings, which was nice to see, unlike a Solyndra, right, out in California that got killed by the kind of the Chinese imports. But getting back to your question, so what we've really been when working with is that retrofit of solar, of batteries, of storing energy, and then applying it to all sorts of functions on the truck. Now, eventually, it would be great if trucks could be electronically driven versus mechanically driven in a lot of places, because we'd be able to use the solar energy. The other thing is there's a lot of experimentation on capacitors, as an example, and their ability to store energy, and then you'd be able to use it on demand. So that's what we've done. We actually have a consultant who worked with NASA for years on developing solar systems for the Hubble and the space station.
And you know what, Peter, I just have to like press pause here for a minute, because you talk about really things that are so, to me, magnificently important. For you and the assessment that you've done and the thoroughness with which you've done it, to me, it's one of those great divine mysteries. If cars and trucks and fleets could have more solar on them, I mean, there's so many different ways that I think we could go. Do you see that will be one viable option down the road in a hurry, where there will be more solar-powered vehicles? What a great thing to think about. I mean, and what are some of the barriers that you see? Because you know a lot about it.
Well, I think the thing we're going to see is, we just did a weekend of test drives for all of our listeners and so forth on the Volt. And the Volt performed very well. But one of the things you think about is, if they were able to increase the capacity of their battery systems,
right,
and then able to supplement that with some solar applications on that vehicle, then now they have good range, because, as you know, they use a engine as a backup, a small
right,
engine
right.
as a backup.
So you
but
don't
it's
have
a,
to be worried
electronically
getting stranded
driven.
On, right, right.
Right, right, because, you know, people are doing, what, 600 miles, 700
right.
miles.
Right, and you have to overcome those fears, like, what if my battery runs out? And I think that I think that Volt and a lot of the companies are succeeding at, you don't have to be worried. You can find a recharging station, and there's a network being built. So go ahead. So solar
and Nissan just announced, right? Nissan just announced that they think they've got a full charge down to 10 minutes now.
Oh, my God. That's the other thing, is that you could stop and get charged instead of get gas.
At a gas station, right? You'd go in,
yep,
get a newspaper, get a coffee. In fact, I don't know if it's true, but a lot of people have talked about a lot of the retrofitting of gas stations when they take out the tanks or replace them, that they've also been trying to put in the utility necessary to go to a level 4 charge. But in answer to your question, it would be a combination then of the capacity of those batteries and the use of that energy by the car, and then the ability to supplement that not only with solar, but we're actually starting to test, and they use in Europe, they actually use small turbines on trucks. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. You're kidding, and I should know that. Now I'll Google it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And so it is feasible, certainly. And then the other thing that's, as you know, that's big in the transportation side, is, and this is where EPA's SmartWay program is really good, they're working on LNG as a kind of a staple for energy use. They're working on, you know, taking the energy that comes out of the braking systems and capturing that into trucks. So I think it's really the ability to lighten the load a little bit, shear off some of the wind, and use a combination of alternative energy. The good thing on trucks is that they worry about height a little bit, so the thin film's very good for solar, but weight's not a problem carrying those batteries and those capacitors and so forth.
It's just, I am telling you, it's one of the most exciting things that anybody shared with me on Mrs. Green's World, and I mean that. It's just so exciting to me to think of a solar array on top of a truck. I remember the time I started reading an extensive article in National Geographic about all the rooftop gardens around the world. That was another exciting day for Mrs. Green, seeing all these gardens in New York City and all over Europe and in cities around the world, where you can just grow your food up on a roof in a city where there isn't a lot of, you know, dirt and land to use. So this is, so I just would love to see this little solar world explode. And, you know, here, I don't know if you were able to listen in the first part of the show, but
even
for us, it was a great day when Ryder, who is a huge leaser of vehicles, I think it is the biggest in the world, partnered with Golden Eagle to convert their fleet to compressed natural gas. And the thing that I don't know, like the average listener, which I am and continue to be and learning, is that it's a huge expense at this point. So Golden Eagle Distributors, that has the, you know, a huge, huge, that's all they do is deliver. They're the distributor for Anheuser-Busch statewide. 42 vehicles a tremendous expense to convert their trucks, and they partnered
with Ryder.
Now,
did the utility help? Did the utility help with that? Because a lot of utilities have grants for those kinds of things.
From what I understand, the utility did not help. It was a partnership with Ryder and a long-term discussion with Ryder and Golden Eagle. And I know I spoke at the event, and it was, you know, Southwest Gas was there, but I don't think that they were major players. We're going to be coming up here on a break, but I want to make sure that I say it and then that I do it. I think one of the things that we can't gloss over is the changes that you have done and that you continue to do. Are they good for business? Or are they altruistic? Because I think there's a lot of misconception out there. What's been the return on your investment? You know, you're creating less waste, you're using less energy. And how is that, as a businessman, how's that model working for you? So please, everybody, stay here with us. We are so blessed to have Peter Arpin from the Arpin International Group and show host of Renewable Now. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Please stay here with me. We will be right back.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green's World. I don't know about you, but it's pretty obvious gas prices are soaring. I'm thrilled to be getting 45 miles per gallon in town with my Honda Insight. Now is the perfect time to visit Chapman Tucson and check out the many fuel-efficient vehicles they have on their lots right now in every price range for every budget. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you.
What if you had simple and easy solutions to live, work, and play green? Green Living Magazine, the premier green lifestyle magazine, brings you the latest in organic cooking, gardening, health and wellness, chef and celebrity interviews, as well as easy solutions to clean up your everyday life. Visit greenlivingaz.com for the latest in green news. Buy your subscription and view our network videos. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and again at greenlivingaz.com.
A big challenge of sustainability is making it affordable to everyday folks. It's a challenge we welcome at the U of A, where architecture students are applying years of research to building energy-smart, low-income housing. Students get hands-on learning, families in need get cutting-edge, money-saving homes, and home builders, well, they get a whole new benchmark. The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And today, right now, this minute, we are going to be thinking about Scott Catto from Legendary World, the legendary dude. Love having him on the show. And Scott, you always have something fun to share with us. Thanks for being here. And what's your big share today?
Thanks. It's great to be back on the air. You know what? I want to talk about one of my favorite companies in the travel business. Fits in with sustainability, but it's Southwest Airlines.
Ooh, that gets always, a ring of the bell.
Always
I love
been
it.
One of my favorites as a traveler. But one of the things is I've learned, you know, as you get more into it and what, you know, this green journey that we're on, you start studying these things. I started reviewing their annual report, and they have three segments of their annual report. It's performance, which every business, that's
right.
What we talk about.
Right.
Got to make money, got to have that profitability to make the business run.
So they
run.
Don't have to charge for our bags.
Exactly.
Thank you.
The other part is people. Again, Southwest is an amazing company about the culture and the people that
totally.
They've developed over
make
their 40
you laugh
years of history.
Every time you're on the flight.
And the third part is planet. I mean, it was just,
planet.
It was a mind-blowing when you open it up and it says performance,
P-P-P.
People, and planet. And they're just doing amazing things as far as, you know, sustainability and greening
and
the airline
and reducing their carbon footprint. They really are. And they're massively big.
Yeah,
so,
the scale, yes, you know, the little things they do. And we talked about recycling as I was looking into this. And, you know, in the old days, you'd go on and they'd start recycling cans years ago. And it was great. And they made a little money on the side. But one of their in-house teams came out and said, you know what? If we take all that stuff, not separated, but paper, plastic, cans, we can recycle all of it. We're going to lose the revenue. But the company came back and said, okay, let's do it. So they're now recycling everything that comes off there. They're not making any money on it. But there's this, again, huge stream.
Huge impact on the planet for waste, for our waste. Oh, my gosh.
You know, then we all see the winglets now, which are very cool. I always thought it was for stability. You know, when I first started flying and seeing those little winglets that stick up on the end, I thought, oh, wow, must make it less, you know, in turbulence.
I thought they were cute.
Why? Yeah. But it is now. It's efficiency. It adds, you know, and again, it's the scale. So it's 3%. You know, they save a couple gallons of flight. But when you take that times 3,000 flights, times 365 days a year, it's a huge
times how many people are
savings
on every plane. And their planes are always packed because they're affordable. They're, they've got a great on-time record. And, you know, I went to a workshop recently. They are social media mavens, too.
They are.
They are extraordinarily. I mean, I'm learning a lot from social
media. They've got a great
blog. They are great. And they have a lot of transparency. I mean, customers are the one that drives their traffic by reporting kindness and on and on. And of course, if something bad happens, that gets exploded.
Right.
But it rarely does.
Well, and they have an internal process or, you know, concept they call their green filter. So that's something else I've been reading about. What they do is they kind of trying to get everybody, whatever they're doing, kind of let's look at it through this green filter, because that's become just a huge part of their company. So it's kind of fun to read about it and watch it.
I think it's great. And we need to always remember, because you and I get into the whirling dervish syndrome, what you do for a living is, I think I, what name did I give you?
The travel
legendary
salon.
Travel Dairy World Salon. That's what it is, a full-service travel salon. And I got news for you. Chicks will like that whole concept, because you are a first-class travel person, and I have had many friends who've used you. We have. And if you want every detail taken care of, Scott's your man. How do people find you?
The best way is to go to our website. It's legendaryworld.com. Right on the front page there, there's a place to sign up for our e-newsletter. And that's, you know, the best way to get started. Sign up there. You'll start getting our information on a regular basis. And of course, you've always got our phone number and stuff in front of you when something pops up.
And you can pick and choose what you want to hear about. You can pick your favorites. If you want to go to Scandinavia, you can get that newsletter.
Right.
If you want to go to Iceland, which we're not going to bring up, you can always do that. So, Scott, you are a great friend, great supporter of Mrs. Green and of the planet, and thanks for being a part of our world.
Thanks.
I just love so much being a part of Mrs. Green's world. Peter, thank you for your patience for that. And
it was interesting to listen. We had Cape Air, which is it's actually an international airline, but does a lot of regional flying, and we had them on the show, and they retrofitted some of their hangars. They tweaked their engines. They did a bunch of stuff, and they've made an amazing difference. So I think in aviation, of course, the big thing is with the help of FAA, is changing the air traffic system and so that they can fly more direct.
Yes, be more efficient, the efficiency in routes. And I have to tell you this, I'm telling you, it's like talking to someone like you. You're an entrepreneur. You're certainly an early adopter. You have a vision for a cleaner, better planet. You're a bottom line businessman. And being part of Mrs. Green's world, one of the things that I want to say on the air is that we just have to connect more, because I looked at some of the guests you have. I love what you're doing with the live broadcast, the TV aspect of it, which I told you, I want you to just take over and be my business coach, which you did not say yes to yet. But anyway, let's just repeat who you are, Peter Arpin. I get so excited about the conversation from the Arpin International Group, moving international movers dedicated to the environment and host of Renewable Now. So let's answer that question. Bottom line, are you seeing an improvement? There's such a claim that green always costs more. What are you seeing as a businessman?
Well, that's a great question, and it's the focus of our show. We talk about the business side of green, and we look at every investment from a consumer and a business side, and we evaluate that ROI. And so our experience has been amazing. But keep in mind, there's, you know, you have to be savvy enough to be aware of all of the different technologies. You have to be aware of tax credits, how you finance
it.
What are the core things in your operation where you can get substantial savings, or in your home as an example? And so it's the evaluation process, because we've been able to cull together incredible state help on, as an example, the solar array on the warehouse with a federal tax credit, where the average rate of internal rate of return for us on that system is about 17%. And there's very few places you can put your money right now, right?
It's if anybody wants to know, knows that, call me. Okay, you're right. 17%.
Yeah,
I'm open for that. Yeah. Peter and I, our lines are open. Go ahead.
And the other thing, you were talking before about Southwest, and they're doing a lot of good things. But when you look at their annual report, if you delve deeper into it, their return on investment, the money they're saving, is staggering. It's staggering with the changes that they've made in their fleet, their maintenance, their engines, how they've lightened the load, and all of the technology they've put on those planes. So I would tell you that everything we've done, that's our focus. We look at the investment and the return. Every building, every transformation of a building, every sensor we put in, every material we use, even to the point of making a decision to use recycled material. What does it do to the bottom line? And because certainly we have an obligation, we have shareholders all over the world, we have an obligation to them, first and foremost, to make money. It's great that we want to be the greenest moving company in the world. It's great that we have this as our positioning. It's great we try to market it, but ultimately it has to drive cash flow. So one of the things we've actually gotten into is starting to talk to companies and consult with companies, not an environmental consultant, because we're not qualified,
right?
But from a business point of view, hey, geez, you're starting to look at, you know, changing some things in your building. Well, geez, there's geothermal and there's wind and there's solar and there's this company and that company and there's these grants and there's this financing. And so, you know, how do you sort through it and make sure that you make the right decision? Because the last thing any of us need are unhappy investors, unhappy people that say, oh, green doesn't pay.
I know, and it'll shut it down. I mean, I still think there's a huge misconception that has to be overcome, and I try to do it on every show if there's any way to tie it in, and you're doing it. And by, you know, what I see is the integration of it, all of the things that you said, it's integration. It's not a silo effect. You can't just like look at one thing and say, this is good, but this costs this much money. You have to look at the overall bottom line. And I think it has to all be about bottom line, because you can do it. You can be an entrepreneur. You can be a businessman, have a publicly traded company. And I look at one of the leaders, Walmart. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. I'm sorry. Everything they're doing is going to save them money, and you know it is. It's going to be a good return on the investment, and they do want that halo effect, but they also want to have a profit, because if not, they won't be here.
Well, it's funny you bring them up, because when you ask people about green companies, you hardly ever hear their name, and they, what they've done is tremendous, is unbelievable. But as you said, there's nobody that buys better, buys cheaper, and gets more for their money than Walmart. They are legendary. And so if they're doing it, guess what? As you said, it's got to be good for cash flow, and it's got to be good for the balance sheet. But they have done an amazing job. And I think the other thing they do is they take that. You see, a company has an ability to share resources with employees, with vendors. Like, we've done a lot
of stuff where
we have green loans for employees. We teach them everything we've learned. We try to teach them. Well, Walmart, they start to set standards, and they say, look, if you're going to be a vendor to Walmart, and guess what? You know, we're one of the biggest customers you have.
You're going to do it this way.
And GE does it, and some of the great companies who actually get bashed, obviously, for a lot of things, and that's, you know, I'm sure there's good and bad to everyone, but when they start to transform their supplier side, then they make a difference in the world, all of those companies.
And Peter, let me ask you this just shot into the brain here. With I read a lot about Walmart, and it's probably because of all the things that I subscribe to, and, you know, Sustainable Smart Brief and Smart Biz and all those things. They report on all of the major companies that are going in a more sustainable direction. In terms of ARPAN, is there does a consumer care about your green practices? Do you use that as a marketing tool? Do you find that it's a plus or minus? I know it's good for the bottom line. What about your customers, the consumer? Does it help?
It's mixed. I would say this, that at the end of the day, we always have to be competitively priced. Now, for
right.
the individual consumer, you really got to be competitively priced. But I think what happens is, if all things are equal, if you made a good presentation and the salesperson was good and they think you're a credible company and then you're competitively priced, you might get the nod because you're doing things the right way, hopefully, and others are not doing them so much. Now, with the bigger clients, with the national accounts, with
right,
some of the
right.
foreign and domestic governments, they absolutely, in fact, it's amazing, the criteria now for corporate social responsibility, which, as you know, is charitable giving, right?
Right, all
and,
of it.
And also environmental management. Their expectations and the percentage of how they weigh your bid based on your corporate social responsibility has gone from almost zero to at least probably 25%,
30%. Oh, my gosh, that's such good news.
Oh, it dictates.
It and
you
really
know,
is.
You mentioned First Solar. That's a customer of ours. We move many of their people, but you can bet that their expectation for you being as green and clean as possible is very, very high, and it's very high on their list because, as you know, ultimately, it's the dominoes thing. So if we're doing the right things, we're going to help the next guy who's going to help the next guy. So, you know, GE has to get all their vendors in line because
right,
the U.S.
Right.
government, right, is going to have an expectation that they are going to do things the right way. So, you would like it to be more of an influence, but I think it's one of those things where you can possibly get a nod if you're meeting all the other expectations.
But at the end of the day, it really does boil down to the big, like with Clean Cities, when Colleen Crowninshield was on, the big difference, the huge impact are some of the huge fleets. So if you have a company like First Solar that is going to say to a moving company, we want you to meet this certain standard, it's a bigger step. It's not just a small step of one move, one person moving across the country. So I think they're the drivers for sustainability that make me very excited.
Buyers are, and the other thing to keep in mind is, 20 million barrels of imported oil a day, 70% of that goes to transportation. That's got to stop. One of the biggest things we talk about on Renewable Now, which, as I said, is really the business side of green, is we focus on EVs, electric cars, and electrification of transportation. If we change our cars and our transportation system and bring those monies and jobs back into this economy, this would be a whole different world.
A whole different world and a better world. And I see it going in that direction. And the thing that makes me really sad, and I don't like to talk about anything sad on Mrs. Green's World, is that we have about 2 minutes left. So the promise I'm making to you is scheduling you for another show early in 2012 and talking more about Renewable Now, because it's an entirely new social media integration of what you're doing. I'd like to ask you, I have probably 15 questions in front of me about...
But you're coming on our show too, right?
I am, so we can talk a little
Good.
Bit more about that.
Good.
Yes, I'm excited about that too, but I just, at what point did you decide? I think it was that you, in 2008, you decided. So just leave us hanging with the thought of why you decided you have this huge international company that's four generations in business, and then you decide to start the ARPAN Broadcast Group. And of course, that intrigues me greatly. So again, was that your idea?
It was, because I have a background in radio and video production and cable TV production. And so it was really the perfect blend, the perfect marriage of the two things that I've done. And we just felt as though in this changing world, the ability, television is moving to the internet in so many ways. And so our ability to compete, right, with very large, much larger than us companies, to be able to compete worldwide, we just felt as though, wow, this is the means. I mean, you do a great job of using radio. You do a great job of using social media. And that's one of the game changers, these worldwide platforms that are affordable and accessible to everyone. If you can communicate, and I don't mean in a manipulating way. I don't
right,
mean
right.
in telling the wrong things and the wrong story. But if you truly communicate to the public and to your potential customers using these platforms, it can transform your company. And so when we started ARPAN Broadcast Network, it was purely let's communicate, let's 24/7 have information available to our customers. And then we started to develop shows and content. So I know you've got to go, and
but
I'm
I want you to tell people about your website, how they get a hold of you, because we do have about 50 seconds left. So tell them about
it's
how
very
to get in touch
easy.
With you.
They can get to us. We have a lot of different sites and visibility. They can Google ARPAN, ARPAN Group.
That's how I found
dot com, you. ARPAN Broadcast Network. They can go to Renewable Now, any of those things. And they can go to your wonderful site and
well,
find us,
they
too,
can.
By
and
the way.
Happy Thanksgiving, Peter. Thank you so much for being
you.
A part of
Same
it.
Same to you.
I know. Next week, Carrie Burns and Lindsay Bruno from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona doing great things. Make it a great green week. Happy Thanksgiving again, and thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter so you can stay connected for all things great and green. God bless. Mm-hmm.